Off the ball. Rugby.
Why has the line-out improved so much?
Codders. Just one word. Alex Codling. he's an asset for us. So.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off the Ball member now.
Yes, Sue Ronan is the former Republic of Ireland manager, former head of women's football at the FAI, and returning for his second cap to the Sunday Paper Review. Paddy O'Dea, who writes for the Sunday Business Post, Irish Independent, works in communications, and Shane Hannan staying with us as well. Good afternoon to you folks. Thanks for coming in.
Hello there.
We will, as always, give people a bit of a sense of what's happening across the back pages. To begin with, we're going to start with the Sunday Times that leads with a photograph of Jack Crowley and Craig Casey during their 30-24 win over Connacht and Castlebar yesterday. Jack Magic, says the headline here. Crowley shines for Munster as record crowd turns out, and plenty more writing on that inside. And then Feel Good Factor is back for Ireland, says Brady, and plenty of writing about Robbie Brady as well on the pages today. We'll go with the Irish Independent next, and they have Munster spoiled the party. Reds defeat Connacht in historic Mayo clash, and you have John Hodnett and crew celebrating Tom Ahern's try, and Mac Hansen flailing Adam's foot, but over he went, and Prendergast recovering in hospital after being stretchered off in that game as well, which is good to see. Mon Alive is a headline that Shane Hannan has been banging on about here non-stop since he arrived in the office earlier on today. A great photograph of Monaghan on the pitch at Croke Park yesterday after their 126-19 win over Roscommon. Farney Final Glory can set up a big year for the Division 2 champions, and Crowley inspires Munster and sends message to the IRFU, says Rory Keane, and that's very much the subtext to Jack Crowley's performance yesterday. The Sun, meanwhile, has got a bloodied and pretty mad-looking Robbie Brady, it must be said, on the back page here. And the Brady crunch, Robbie knows, if you get it, what's at stake in cup battle against that Preston Villa game. As I mentioned, that's nil all as of the minute. Sunday Mirror, meanwhile, has four Middlesbrough Forest, Nottingham Forest, going through on penalties after that win over Brighton yesterday. Guardiola, City boss, poor season. Even if we win the FA Cup, it'll never happen again. Pep Guardiola finding new ways to explain or not everything that's happening at Manchester City at the minute. Reds look for the Bourne identity. This is Liverpool looking to swoop for a couple of Bournemouth players with the loss of the inevitable loss of Trent and possibly Virgil van Dijk out the gap as well. That's the Sunday World. And the last one we'll go with at the minute is the Sunday People. No Pep rescue. Guardiola, even winning the FA Cup, can't salvage our season. An easy peasy stroll to semis. Crystal Palace beating Fulham by 3-0. So that's what's happening across the back pages. One non-back pages one to begin with. So we better touch on Ruaisha Littlejohn's goal yesterday. It's doing the rounds on social media, I think is the expression we use here. But Galway had scored a goal. Shamrock Rovers had a kickoff. Ruaisha steps up and pinpoint perfect lobs the goalkeeper. The technical ability to pull that off must be something else.
If you expected any player to do that, pull that type of a goal off, it's Ruaisha Littlejohn. She has that in her locker, as they say. She has the technical ability to do it. She has the confidence to do it. She's the foresight to see, you know, it's possibly on. And maybe from, if there was, I don't know what stage, I know Galway had just scored, but I'm not sure what stage in the game it was. But if she saw Galway tipping off earlier, maybe, or they were tipping off earlier against Galway, rather, she might have seen the goalkeeper off the line. So said, I'm going to try that if the opportunity arises. But yeah, what a piece of individual brilliance, really. I suppose the last time I saw something similar, it wasn't from a kickoff, but it was Carly Lloyd's goal from the halfway line in the World Cup final in 2015. When she saw the goalkeeper off the line, it was in play against Japan, and it was from inside, just inside the half as well. And yeah, what a fantastic
class
goal.
Class. Like, for the second time in a couple of weeks, we're talking about a Ruaisha Littlejohn brilliant bit of technical ability, like the postage stamp goal that she scores with her first free kick against Athlone a couple of weeks ago. Like, it's come up, obviously, in conversation, particularly with Carla Ward during the week, about like her possible impact and how much of a role model she can be for players, potentially, for the Women's League of Ireland. Certainly scoring goals like that isn't going to do any harm.
No, it's not. And I'd say that's, you know, she stayed around the national team. She was one of those after the defeat to Wales that there was a question mark. Is she going to retire? Is she going to continue playing? And I'd say Carla had played with her before. She knows what she brings in terms of her ability, her leadership through the way she plays, through the way she's so determined. And also around the camp, like, she's a real jovial character. She's a lot of fun. And I'd say she does get on with everyone I know. So I would imagine Carla had that conversation with her. And if there was any doubt that Ruaisha might have looked at hanging up the boots. Yeah, Carla probably persuaded her otherwise. So it's brilliant to have her continue to play, and it's brilliant to have her in the league here.
What? How many players would you have coached over the years that have the ability, technical ability, to score something like that?
Very few. Very few. Denise, herself, Katie, Stephanie, off the top of my head. I don't want to do anyone a disservice, obviously. I'm sure there's one or two others as well, but they're the four, I guess.
Like that three small steps.
Yeah.
Like no doubt about it. Like once you could tell straight away this is exactly, the keeper must have been going, oh, crap.
Yeah. It was a fantastic strike. And like the keeper wasn't a huge distance off her line either. Yeah. Literally just went in under the crossbar. Fantastic, fantastic goal, you know.
There'll be no, every opposition from now going forward will be
goalkeeper on the line.
Do, stay on your line. Obviously the back-to-back games against Greece starting next week.
Yeah.
So your sense of that, and obviously Carla Ward's been out in the media during the week talking about the mess that was Finland, but it's very much about putting all that right.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we were lucky enough to win at home to Turkey 1-0, and then the Slovenia game away, it was just
Slovenia.
Yeah, it was just a disaster. And I think Carla, in fairness, has put her hand up and said maybe she got some things wrong. She maybe played players out of position, maybe didn't give the opposition as much respect as she may have by the shape that we play and the way we went at them. But I think there's been a lot of conversations had between since then, from what I hear, between the manager and the players. And I would expect to see a better performance in the upcoming games against Greece.
Simple fix. Put the players back where they're...
Yeah, play the players where they're strongest and respect every opposition. You know, every team is improving at international level. There's no easy fixtures anymore. The men's team see it as well. Mm. But particularly on the women's side, like the teams are putting a lot of resources into their underage structures, or they have done over the years. Those players are coming through now. There isn't any easy game really anymore, you know, so you just respect that opposition. And yeah, but it's a rebuild, I think, isn't it? A little bit, the squad at the moment.
But just to go back to that goal, I think you talked about it doing the rounds on social media. I think I woke up this morning and it featured in three different WhatsApp groups.
Sit into that a small bit.
Which is, you know, which tells its own story. But like when Sue references Stephanie Roach, and I think it was her iconic goal probably 12 or 13 years ago at the moment. And if you were to track the sort of growth of women's football in the kind of public discourse, that was one of those standout moments. So, you know, in terms of, I know one of the themes we're going to touch upon this afternoon is how you market sports and how you draw eyeballs. And I think just that goal was just a brilliant illustration in terms of, that's just gold dust in terms of what that does.
Yeah, the FAI need to be saying to Roosh every weekend, listen, done it 2 weeks in a row now. Come on,
keep it up.
This is giving us good kudos here. We might talk a bit about Robbie Brady because it's come up in a lot of the papers today, primarily because he's playing for Preston North End today and he's sort of been in and out of the team a little bit this season. He's 33 years of age. They've a few injuries today, so he was always sort of guaranteed to start. Plays on the right wing today against Aston Villa in that cup quarter final. So yeah, he is the subject of a lot of writing. And he was a guy who had sort of disappeared, obviously towards the end, maybe for different reasons, toward the end of Stephen Kenny's reign, and has come back into it. And I'm not saying that he's undroppable or he's always going to be a starter under Hamer, but certainly the first few games, the last couple of games, I should say, has looked very assured, like really good from dead ball positions, maybe gives us something that a lot of others couldn't. Kevin Doyle is somebody who's quoted. Aidan Fitzmaurice writes about him in the Sunday Independent today. And like he did us a big favour with the bloodied nose that he got in the Bulgaria games, because he's given us photographs to go off now for the next while. But this one is not the worst one. And Brady's second coming is the headline on it. And a quote here from Kevin Doyle in the piece. I watched the Ireland matches and he, Brady, looks like someone who's enjoying his football. He doesn't look like a 33-year-old. If you look after yourself, as I know he does, there's no reason why Ireland can't get another 2 or 3 years out of him.
Yeah, and to pick up on that theme of the second coming, I think probably in 2016 at the Euros, there was those standout performances of James McCarthy, Hendrick, Robbie Brady, and we probably thought, you know, the future looks bright. This is our midfield for the next decade. That hasn't quite materialised through a combination of just injuries, ill fortune and so on. But like, I don't think Robbie Brady's talent was ever in question. I think it's just injuries has always been his kind of key challenge. So I think it's, you know, I think any Irish football supporter, you know, will be excited to see Robbie Brady playing well. I think he'll always have a role to play in the Irish team. His set piece delivery, his his technical kind of ability is always apparent. It's just, can he stay injury free? Can he get a sufficient number of game time? So, you know, it's brilliant to see he's kind of, it looks like he's maybe turned a corner and he's, sounds like he's a few more years ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always had the talent. I remember seeing him as a young boy when he played, I think, his first game for the under-21s. Noel King was the coach at the time, and I would have worked with Noel in the FAI at the time. And he just had a cultured left foot, and he still has. And I think there's a lot of talk in the papers today about Trent Alexander-Arnold. I know we'll speak about him a bit later, and he has such a cultured right foot. But, you know, Brady's every bit as good on the left. And I think he makes, he mentions something in his article about the messaging is clear now, or simple, from Heimer, and you can see he's playing without any weight on his shoulder. He's playing with, you know, a bit of freedom. He's just doing it simple. He gets it. He's looking to pass it to feet, or looking, if he's in advanced areas, he's just looking to get into the box. And Kevin Doyle also mentions he knew once Brady was on the ball wide, there was every bit of a chance that he could get on the end of, if he could get on the end of his cross, he'd score, because of the way he put the ball in. He just whips it in, and it's a, you know, it's a striker's delight, as they say, those type of crosses coming in.
I remember Adrian doing an event, I think it was 2018, so this is a couple of years after the famous goal against Italy, and I was emceeing an event, and part of it was interviewing Robbie Brady on stage in Monaghan. It was the Sean McCaffrey Foundation. Sean McCaffrey would have been his coach at underage level, of course. Passed away since, sadly, Sean McCaffrey, but we put the goal up on the big screen with the Titanic music behind it, the Italy goal in slow motion, and Robbie, of course, cringing at it, you know, very modest. But he told a great story about when he was at Old Trafford years ago, and I think it was in Carrington in the canteen, and he said that he was in the queue, he was young, Cristiano Ronaldo was in his pomp. You've probably heard this story before, and he said it a few times, but he was in the queue for food, and Ronaldo taps him on the shoulder and says, "Can I skip you in the queue?" Robbie lets him pass, because obviously it's Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think he mentioned it to Alex Ferguson in passing then at one stage, maybe a couple of days later, and Ferguson ripped him out of it. And said, "Don't do that. Like, whether he's a megastar or not, you do not let anyone feel like they're better than you. And you have to have the confidence to think that you can be as good as him." And it was like a lesson in leadership. It was a lesson in something. But Robbie's obviously picked up from those things. And even his time at United, I'm sure he learned loads from there. But he's had a brilliant career, as guys have said, peppered with injuries. But what a superb career when you look back on it that he's had, and a really likable guy as well. Yeah. So. Yeah. Just wish the best for him.
The feel-good factor being back is the angle that Paul Rowan takes up in the story and the Sunday Times. And you just touched on the quote there, Sue. Just since the new manager came in, everything seemed simplified. He's a chill character and is very good at getting his point across to the lads. A lot of lads are playing really well at a high level. Like, I certainly tend to read these things with like a view of, okay, he's talking a bit about Heimer, but there must be something about Stephen Kenny in here as well. And I don't know about the second bit of that, but certainly the first bit, since the new manager came in, everything seems simplified, seems some sort of a critique on Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, all right. But I think, you know, players are going to speak about who the current manager is positively, of course. And they don't generally tend to be so direct and be blunt about a previous manager. But sometimes there are messages underneath, undertones. But yeah, maybe that's the way to look at it. But it seems like it is simpler for the players now. That's the feeling you're getting. It seems like it's starting to come together. You can see Heimer now putting his style of play on the team. To get two wins back-to-back the first time for a long time has been really good, and it can only give them confidence. I heard an interesting stat there at the weekend too, that apparently we're the only team that's ever present in League B the Nations League. So we haven't been promoted, we haven't been relegated.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but it's an interesting one. Anyway, I hadn't heard it before, but yeah, they just seem to be playing. It seems to be a little bit simpler now for them, and I don't know, maybe they weren't able to play the style of play that Stephen Kenny wanted them to do. And I suppose ultimately they weren't, because we couldn't get the results.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off The Ball member now.
Off The Ball Rugby.
Why has the line-out improved so much?
Codders, just one word. Alex Codling. he's an asset for us, so.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.